Different are the languages of prayer, but the tears are all the same. So Abraham Heschel, our mighty interpreter of the Hebrew prophets, who well knew the joyful tears of adoration and the sorrowful tears of confession and the heartfelt tears of thanksgiving and the worried tears of supplication. These are the languages of prayer. Prayer is multilingual. Prayer is acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Our New Testament, in its earliest epistle, that of 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, cautions us, pray without ceasing. And so this year, particularly in our teaching and preaching at Marsh Chapel, our theme is this very one of prayer together. So prior to worship, we sit for a moment in quiet prayer, and Sunday evening in the Eucharistic prayer, and Monday noon in meditation, and Wednesday in theological devotion, and in the evening in communion, and on Thursday an open-air plaza Holy Communion for all of the city to enjoy. Prayer is attention, rapt attention. Prayer is sitting silent before God. Prayer is a momentary resistance to confusion. Different are the languages of prayer, but the tears are all the same. In the language of prayer, one learns adoration. Our gospel today is at its marrow a song of delight, of wonder, of aspiration, of affirmation, and of adoration. Its spirit is that of why not, and look at that, and oh my. Now, in the first century, both Jews and Greeks, as is attested in our reading itself, accommodated divorce. Moses allowed. 15 years before this reading, Paul, to the First Corinthians, also made provision for divorce. And 15 years after our reading, Matthew in the 19th chapter also made provision for divorce. And were it not so, we know in our own experience that for the sake of the institution itself, sometimes divorce is the right course. Mark's Jesus here is speaking something else in prayer. He's lifting an aspiration. It's a prayer of adoration that there might be space in the human condition where two become one, where there is a union of hearts and souls together, where there is real friendship, real fellowship, real marriage, real relationship, real love, and therein one may glimpse a hint of eternity, have just a shimmering, glimmering sense of what love can be over time. It takes practice. An unspoken but lasting truth is every couple needs other couples. That's why, we have a church. We stumble. A month ago, I bought new sneakers for the fall jogging season. I left them in a bag. It's our habit in our home to place trash in a similar bag, a yellow bag, and I made the mistake of placing that sneaker-filled bag right in the same regular spot. And my dear spouse, the other inhabitant in our household, did exactly what she should do. Coming by, the first down the stairs, takes the bag, down it went for disposal. Oops! Except for the wise kindness of our custodian, who lifted it the next day and felt it was heavier than the usual assortment of newspapers and term papers, and he set it aside for us, and they came back to us. That is, not to put too fine a moral point upon it, We enjoy and benefit from the custodial care of the community. Adoration is a language of prayer, so every Sunday we sing at least one hymn. Confession also is a language of prayer. How our generation needs this tongue, the tongue of contrition, the tongue of confession, the tongue of lament, the tongue of regret, the capacity to say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me." We hear an anthem in a moment, just the second time it will have been sung, in which the human fragility and capacity for sin is set over against the bounty of God's peace. God of peace, again, give us peace, we hear sung. Visiting recently, our own C. Faith Richardson, who in her ninth decade recalls being the secretary to Bishop James Matthews, I remembered his sermon 20 years ago as if it were this morning. He said, "I came to a point in life where I just sat down and wrote out all my errors, all my mistakes, all my regrets, all my regretful mistakes, all my mistaken regrets. I put them down, I lifted them to God, I prayed for forgiveness, I threw them out, and I walked away a lighter being." Then he said, "I am confident that all of you have done something similar in the same or similar way." How I basked in his confidence, not sharing fully the confidence that we all had done so. Do you know God to be a pardoning God? That was John Wesley's first question. Such a mode of confession helps us to face the fragility of life around us, particularly the fragility of institutions. Institutions do not live and breathe on their own without careful guidance and leadership, small, medium, large, or extra large. Many of our churches are one pastor away from life or death. Governments near and far are one epoch away from building or constraint. Look again at the condition of Syria. 200,000 dead, 4 million refugees, 7 million dislocated, half the population in disarray. We are so mortally fragile. And it guides us to be able to lift a prayer of confession. So every Sunday, we hear a Kyrie eleison, "Lord, have mercy." So confession, a language of prayer. Thanksgiving is a language, the language of prayer. You know, the Psalms are either thanksgivings or laments. As my friend says of birds, they're either robins or non-robins. So the Psalms, thanksgiving or lament. Oh, the Hebrew scripture teachers who are listening, forgive me for a moment. I know Hermann Gunkel, and I know there are six other types. But life is short, and we need to make things portable. The Psalms are either one or the other, and there are more of thanksgiving, including the one read today. Every Sunday, we hear a psalm, because the Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. "I sing the Lord's praise and tell of God's wondrous deeds," says the psalmist today. Should you stumble to begin to pray, you don't need to look very far. Think first of something for which you are generously grateful. And the Psalms are so full thereof. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Sing to the Lord a new song. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. I lift mine eyes to the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from God who made heaven and earth. The language of prayer is the language of thanksgiving. So every Lord's Day, together in community, we offer a psalm of lament or thanksgiving. The language of prayer includes supplication, centrally so, intercession, supplication together. A prayer for what we need. You know, the Bible says, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened, ask and it shall be given. Not always, not as expected always, and certainly hardly ever in the time expected. But you know, you don't get what you don't ask for. And especially for our young adults, the practice of prayer and supplication is healthy to name our needs. Even when that prayer is through, as it may be for you today, clenched teeth. Lord God Almighty, give us a great land that is free of gun violence. So we pray in prayer, in supplication this day, with the reverberating report of horror again upon horror. Our prayer of supplication. You know, such a prayer can cause our imagination to roll. We, as Lincoln said in another time, have a different condition, and so we must think differently. And our prayer of supplication can support us to think about how to address this issue as an issue of public health, not just or only an issue of individual or personal right and freedom, but an issue of public health. And when we do so, we do see that in other similar conditions, we have made progress. Like what? Like the incidence of illness and death from smoking, we have made progress. Like what? Like the incidence of death on the highways, we have made progress. Here again, the solution is out there somewhere, but you have chosen rightly, to place your voice within a chorus of voices that address this issue as one of public health. The scripture says today, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou dost care for him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. May our prayer of supplication, of intercession, week by week, as we gather to begin the week to face what we hold most dear and face the future with the confidence of obedience, may it trigger, kindle, allow in our imaginations something new and different to emerge. For every Lord's Day, we offer a common prayer. Different are the languages of prayer, but the tears are all the same. The joyful tears of adoration, the sorrowful tears of confession, the heartfelt tears of thanksgiving, the worried tears of supplication. In 1983, we hurried across a parking lot to come to the edge of the Pacific Ocean, looking over a great promontory. And then on a sunlit day, underneath a great tent, were the 1,000 of the leaders of the World Council of Churches. And there they were in adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. N.T. Wright and Philip Potter and Connie Parvey and Emilio Castro and Paulo Freire and all. And they sang, in Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. In him let true hearts everywhere their high communion find. Who serves his Father as the Son is surely kin to me. May these days of prayer and supplication, of thanksgiving and adoration, be given as gifts to Almighty God and to one another, as in prayer we progress and proceed at Marsh Chapel 2015. Amen.